Empire.
You thought you knew, but you have no idea. It's the urban sports scene.
Are listening to the urban sports scene, and we are part of Empire Media. That's empiremedia.com. I'm Wole, and here with my boy Will T. The homie Ray Gigi's out. What's going on, Will?
Everything's copacetic on this end, man. You know, first Skip and Shannon breakup. Every day I wake up.
Oh, I thought you was going to do that, too. Once you said Skip and Shannon breakup, I thought you was about to quote the whole too. This is what happened. You have two black dudes together, two dark-ass dudes together. Oh, yeah, you know this is going to be like an uncut joint. You know that, right?
Yeah, absolutely. All right, man, absolutely.
So it's darkness together, bro. There's no light.
Yeah, man. So end of an era. Sports debate era. Seven years,
facts,
man.
Facts, though. Facts.
Skip and Shannon, FS1. Really don't see anyone watching that channel anymore.
Nah, they lost it. Yeah. I mean, Joy's on the channel.
I mean, Joy's on there. Colin Cowherd. Excuse me.
Yeah, I like him. I've always liked him, though.
I think he's interesting.
I mean, to me. I don't care for him. I really don't.
I could tell.
I don't. I care about Joy, though.
I know you do. A little bit more than anybody else who doesn't really know her.
I know. I think me and her would be best friends, though. We would be besties.
Yeah, that's anytime you say that about somebody you don't know, that seems a little bit unhealthy, my brother.
It's got to be
just a little unhealthy.
Why got to be all that, bro?
It's all good, man. Let's get into it. All
right, let's get into it. Go ahead, bro.
Empire Media. Excuse me. Wow.
Let's get into it, real
team. Empire Media hosts multiple DMV sports podcast shows such as the John Kime Report, hosted by ESPN Washington Commanders, Insider John Kime, and Jones Football, hosted by USA Today Insider. Who?
Mike Jones. What?
Mike Jones.
All right. Hey, subscribe to our podcast on Stitcher, Spotify, iTunes, TuneIn, iHeartRadio, and Google Podcasts. Just search the Urban Sports Scene.
Make sure you subscribe to the Urban Sports Scene YouTube channel as well.
Hey, this show can be found on the Podcast DC app, the local app with hundreds of options in local news and health in the DMV region. Download the Podcast DC app to hear all of the Empire shows, as well as other great content.
Don't forget to tweet us at Urban Sports Scene. Hit us up on IG at Urban Sports Scene and like our Urban Sports Scene Facebook page.
Also, join our Urban Sports Scene Facebook group. Search Urban Sports Scene, sports bloggers, sports podcasters, and sports debates. Will T.
Let's get into our tradition, the pregame.
All right, man. We'll talk about the Washington Commanders minicamp with Seawall Sports and Entertainment's Candy Waller. Then at 8:20, Double Take Sports CEO and Washington Wizards reporter Karita Parks will join us to talk about Wizards president Michael Winger hiring Will Dawkins to be the team's new GM and them working on a possible trade involving Bradley Beal. At 8:35, we'll talk about the Denver Nuggets winning the NBA Finals, which happened Monday night. Then finally, we'll talk about Teofimo Lopez defeating Josh Taylor to win the WBO Junior Welterweight title. Wayne and Jermaine from the Adams Boxing Show will join us to discuss the fight. All right, right now, I'm going to patch her in, though. Right now, we have Seawall Sports and Entertainment's Candy Waller on the line. What is good, Candy?
Hey, everybody. How you guys doing?
Doing just splendid. How about yourself?
I like splendid. It's good. That's a good word, bro.
It is a good word. Yeah. I am splendid as well.
That's good to hear.
A good fucking word, Will, too.
All right, Candy. Let's get started. Washington they're in the midst or just... They just ended their mini camp. How did... And you know the question that everybody in D.C. is eager to know. How did Sam Howell look?
You know, Sam Howell looked good. I thought Sam Howell looked solid. He definitely, he's progressing. There's definitely some kinks that need to be worked out. He's definitely showing, he's young, uh-huh, right? But I saw progress even from his overall just poise and swag, if you will. So definitely still trying to work out some kinks for sure. There's some some improvement points that need to be made. But Sam ain't scared. He gonna launch the football, and he's gonna try, some risk there. But overall, solid. The quarterback room is definitely in a much better place than it was last June. So that's a good thing.
All right, Candy. Coach Rivera said that there will be a real quarterback competition between Sam Howell and Jacoby Brissett. Did you get that sense? And also on top of that, Jahan Dotson came out recently with some comments that Sam Howell, for all in his mind, is the guy. Do you get that sense from the team that it is truly a open competition, or do you get the sense that Sam Howell is the guy?
I don't get the sense that there is a competition. I do get the sense that Sam Howell is the guy. And that's no shade to Jacoby Brissett, Jake Fromm, no one else. Mm-hmm. I think that, sometimes you have to say those things out loud to make it spicy, right? Mm-hmm. It's to get those gears really grinding in the way you want them to for Sam to truly embrace being NFL QB1, right? I don't want to be like, okay, it was all lip service, but for real, y'all, it's lip service. I think those are the things that you got to say, and you got to keep it going. I'm sure you all heard about the reports that they've had Sam mic'd up.
Yeah.
They're doing different things to get him in the mode. Now, let's be clear. Jacoby had a great OTAs as well.
Uh-huh.
He had really good OTAs. So I don't foresee them not going with Sam at QB1 unless he just completely stinks up training camp. But I don't see that happening.
You mentioned Jacoby Brissett. How does he look at minicamp? Is he killing it? Was he killing it in terms of comparison to Sam Howell? Does he look better to you, or is Howell that much better than Brissett?
What I for sure saw out of Jacoby Brissett is that he's been here before.
Mm-hmm.
Right, I definitely saw that veteran presence for certain. He and Sam both did a good job, but what I can for sure say, he's been there before. He's been under center as QB1, QB2 on game day, and Sam hasn't done that except for one time, in a regular season. So I could see the difference there, and especially getting used to the tempo. It wasn't hard for Jacob to get used to the tempo. I think there was some needing to get used to the tempo in such a lackadaisical offense last year.
So, all right, the Commanders brought in Eric Bieniemy to be the offensive coordinator. On offense, how does an EB minicamp look like, and can you share any EB stories?
Absolutely. EB minicamp is everybody's yelling. I mean,
everybody's yelling.
Yeah, I mean he's loud. Uh-huh. You hear him before you see him, and EB minicamp is fast. Uh-huh. It's speed. He doesn't want anybody wasting time in the huddle. You got to get to the huddle, get to the line. Get off my field. Get to the line. Get to the huddle. Get to the line. Get off the field. Like, I mean, it's very cadenced in a quick tempo way. I saw players trying to catch their breaths, and I continue to say that on shows, but I don't want anyone to think that the players were like out of shape or gassed. It's not that. They are working. They're practicing, even in minicamp. So that's what, EB minicamp looks like. Even from a defense perspective, you saw, and cornerback Benjamin St. Juice said this in his presser, which was there were times where they were shocked, like, oh, like they thought the offense was going to do something and they didn't. They got them. So you're going to see a lot of creativity. You're going to see a lot of, even for the stars on offense, hey, if EB wants you to run it one way and it didn't go the way that he wanted it to go, he's going to tell you to do it again. And so the energy was up all during practice. Never a dull moment in an EB practice, for sure.
All right, one follow-up question for you regarding EB or Eric Bieniemy, Candy. We know that at his previous stop in Kansas City, that wide receiver – group was built on speed. A lot of speed, guys getting vertical to open up underneath routes for the tight end. Did you see any of that, any semblance of that during minicamp?
Absolutely. There will be a lot of creativity. There will be a lot of explosive plays. And the wide receivers, we're going to finally see the track stars this year, right? You know, Wale has heard me, you know, joke and say at times, you know, it's a 4x100 team, easy, on the Commanders receivers. And EB was putting them all to work. So that's going to be a for sure difference. Exactly what you just said, Will, and it's going to be very similar to what was seen in Kansas City, but he's got here a ton of receivers that are fast. They were not utilized in that way previously, but you're going to finally see what we mean when we say this is the kind of like the district of speed with these receivers on the Commanders.
So there's a guy that I like, Candy, that was a fast dude who wasn't utilized here under Scott Turner and De'Ami Brown. How did he look in camp? Did he do anything, or is he just like status quo?
I mean, right now, honestly, it's status quo.
Okay.
You know, I mean, he did good. He was fine. He was solid. But they got a good group. It's going to be interesting to see what happens. You know, when it comes down to getting to the 50, to the 53, or you know, the active roster, it's really going to be interesting because it's a really good group and they're all fast. You know, so it's going to be interesting for sure.
All right, let's talk about the other side of the ball, particularly Prince George's County's own Chase Young.
PJ?
He's trying to rebound from that ACL injury that he had a couple of years ago. How did he look during this mini camp? Did you notice him being as explosive as he was prior to the injury, or do you think he still is showing the remnants of that ACL tear?
Oh, did he have a burst? That's what you want to say. Yeah, go get it, Candy.
Y'all are crazy. Chase doesn't look like he was ever hurt. Like, it's no rust. It's no rust. And, you know, he said it in the presser. Feels good. You know, he kind of did it kind of low. Like, yeah, it feels good. It's like, yeah, dude, you know you out there already killing it. Mm. And so, you know, he's wearing a brace. Yeah, I think that's just for mentally and safety reasons or whatever. But I'm sure he does not need it. He did not look like he was coming off an injury at all. If no one knew he was coming off an injury, you wouldn't be able to tell it. No way. Not at all.
How did Montez look? How did Montez Sweat look?
Montez looks like he's going to have a fast start. Mm. Montez looks like he's going to start where he left off. I mean, Montez ended up being a Pro Bowl alternate last year. And I think he's looking like he's trying to be on that trajectory for sure, starting out the season. So both of them look really good. The D-line as a whole is one thing that I think is important to share is that De'Ron Payne even said in his presser, you know, they start out slow and they understand this isn't the year to start out slow. They got to start out fast. Sure. They got to be who they supposed to be on paper. They got to be that all season long, and they intend on doing that starting week one.
How did Mathis look, the kid out of Alabama who was out last year?
Yeah, this is another one that looks like he was not hurt. I know he had a really good offseason, really engaged in some, you know, endurance training, speed training, all of that. And he looks the part. He really looks the part. That's definitely a player that I was super excited about when the Commanders drafted him last year. I was really disappointed, you know, when he had that injury. So we didn't get to see him. But that is definitely a name that everyone needs to remember and watch out for because, again, another one who had a very strong mini camp.
Okay. All right, so, Candy, in terms of your eyes and what you observed, who had the best camp?
This may be a shock. Uh-huh. Antonio Gibson.
Okay.
Antonio Gibson gets my best camp. And I think a lot of that, it was a lot of, you know, I got a lot of, you know, honorable mentions as well,
okay.
But that's not a name that we, you know, people have really been talking about.
Yeah.
Antonio Gibson is really, now we saw it a bit last year, right? Of
yeah.
them starting to use him in space and where he's really, you know, where he's strong. And even at punt returner, kick returner, he was doing all of those things in camp, in mini camp. He looked good, like really good. And you can tell when he's getting stronger and all that. I think he had a great mini camp. Of course, Emmanuel Forbes,
yeah.
Quan Martin, wow. Like, it is abundantly clear. You all mentioned Jahan Dotson earlier. Jahan Dotson definitely said in a presser, they are very good. Very good. Like that. So, now everybody should be abundant. It's no questions on why they were taken in the first and second round. Very smart. Looks like they've been watching film on Jahan and Terry and Curtis, because they were really ready for the offense, and they were having a lot of fun. So those are definitely my top three. I mean, of course, you know, like I said, who's another name? Sadiq Charles. I'm trying to think about the folks that I was really really paying attention to. He did.
He's starting this year, right? He's starting so far, right?
Yes, okay. Yes. And so he's going to have a big year, right? Kind of like, you know, I was trying to think about the folks that I was really paying attention to, or they started catching my eye. Like Antonio, you know, like AG, I'm like, okay, AG, let's do it. Let's go. Oh, cool. And Sadiq, I definitely had my eyes, of course, on the offensive line. And I thought Sadiq had a very strong mini camp. So that's good news. I knew that was good news and one of the things I was going to be watching myself. So, yeah, it was good stuff.
Hey, well, Cam, this has been dope, man. Before we let you go, man, how can folks catch you on social media? Catch your stuff at Bowie. I told you, keep plugging that Bowie stuff when you're on the show. Plug that. Plug your social media. You know, she queen of Bowie TV. You know that, right? She queen of Bowie TV.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, you know, she the queen of Bowie TV. Not the president. She's queen of Bowie TV, bro.
I appreciate that. So, okay, let's start with Bowie TV. So, Bowie Television, if you are local to the PG County area, in Bowie and surrounding areas, you can catch Coaching from the Couch every day from 1:30 to 2:30 on Verizon Fios Channel 11 and Comcast Xfinity Channel 77. And then online, you know, YouTube, Facebook, Seawall Sports and Entertainment. On Instagram, it's at Seawall Sports. On Twitter, at Seawall SE. And then my website, definitely sign up for my email list so you can get all of the updates at www.seawallse.com.
All right, that's dope. Thanks, Candy, for being
on. What else I missed?
I'm trying to think.
Inside the Wizards.
That Sports Illustrated. Sports Illustrated too, Will T. What else? What else you forget? You don't do the podcast, the Little Wizards podcast anymore? You don't do that no more?
No, we don't do that. All right, we just
Inside the Wizards.
Yeah,
I try.
Okay.
Thank
you.
I always look out for my peoples, man.
I appreciate it.
Hey, Candy, thanks for being on. We appreciate you.
Appreciate you much, Candy.
All right.
Talk to you all again soon.
All right. Talk to you soon. Very soon, Candy. Very soon.
All right.
Again, that was Candy Waller from Seawall Sports and Entertainment. Follow her on Twitter. That's at Seawall SE. That's at Seawall SE, man. All right, man. Will.
All right. The Wizards have a GM. He is already working on trading Bradley Beal. That sounds like something you would write.
I did write that. I am fucking amazing.
Double Take Sports Wiz reporter Karita Parks will join us to talk about the Wizards' new front office and a possible Bradley Beal trade after the break. It's the Urban Sports Scene. You dig?
Deuces.
On Empire Media. That's empiremedia.com.
Happy holidays from the Washington Bullets.
Go Bullets! Go Bullets!
I'm a Bullets fan.
Time for slam.
bullet law in your town.
Coming from the capital of the nation, my man Chris Webber slammed dunks in your face and Burisson blocks the shots that are sent. Check it, Washington's in the house. Represent, represent.
Butler gets it into Rex Chapman. Rex unloads.
Come back from breaking shit. All right, listen to the Urban Sports Scene with Wole and Will, and we are part of Empire Media. That's empiremedia.com. The homie Ray Jeezy is out as well. All right, man, right now we have Double Take Sports Washington Wizards reporter Karita Parks on the line. Karita is the founder of Double Take Sports. Karita, what is good?
What's up? Happy to be back.
Hey, Miss Parks, how you doing?
Good. How are you?
Doing great.
Yes, it's exciting times, right? If you're like, Wizards.
No, if you dislike Bradley Beal as much as Wole.
I don't dislike Bradley Beal. I don't even know, dude.
Okay, excuse me. If you don't believe,
don't shoot the gym together.
If you do not believe that Bradley Beal fulfills the value of the contract that he has signed, it is a great today's news. Was
that's
great.
Such a diplomatic way to put it.
I know, right? And that's such a factual way to put it. Like, Will, I like the way you did that. You know what I mean? Now I don't sound like a hater. Thank you so much, Will T.
You're welcome, man.
You want to take us to the next question, Will?
Yeah, absolutely. Right. Karita, you were at the press conference where the Wizards announced Will Dawkins as their new GM. What is the vibe that you got from that press conference? And also, if you can, tell us a little bit about Will Dawkins.
Yeah, so the vibe that I got, first of all, I've been covering the Wizards since 2019. Uh-huh. And I felt like that was the grandest press conference I have been a part of.
Wow, okay.
Seriously, they had it at a District E, which is a venue next to the arena, attached to Gallery Place. There were balloons. There was like graphics there. You know, it was a big deal. So if you didn't think this change was a big deal, when you got there, you realized it was a big deal. But I will say, so the vibe, I mean, you just, like I said, you just really felt that change. It feels like exciting times are ahead. You definitely, it's just a completely different vibe, in all honesty, from what it was before. And not to say that there was anything wrong with what it was before, it's just you felt a different energy, is basically what I'm trying to say. And so Will Dawkins, from what I learned, he came from OKC. He was in the front office at OKC. He worked his way up through the organization. So he started as an intern. He was a video coordinator, worked his way into the front office. And he talked about how that kind of like being a video coordinator, he said, you know, he got to watch film and it showed him how to study players. So he just has this journey. I thought it was a pretty cool journey to go from an intern to like the front office. But he did say that he always, because I asked him, I was like, did you have GM aspirations? And he said, you know, I was always crazy enough to think that I could be a GM. So I really liked him from just having a conversation. But one thing I've also learned with the Wizards is you got to see how execution occurs.
Facts.
So it feels good, seems like a good vibe, exciting, but we got to see how it pans out from an execution perspective. Okay. Now, I will say, Michael Winger, he repeatedly said it's going to take time. So he wanted to set expectations, like, don't think this is about to happen overnight.
All right, Karita, you stated that Will Dawkins came from the OKC front office. And one of the things I think as fans we've kind of picked up from the OKC, they're drafting
good young players.
Yes, they really draft the best available player, no matter how raw they are, and they develop them.
They be ballers,
so is
too.
That something that as fans we should look, or fans of that team? I'm not going to say I'm a fan.
Yeah, I'm about to say, don't say we like I'm a fan. As cover this team, bro.
As fans, is that something that they should look forward to in this upcoming draft? The strategy to draft the best available player, no matter if he can help them right now or not?
Well, this is what they said. That kind of came up in, I say don't completely quote me because there was a lot that came up in the press conference. But I do remember this coming up specifically. And from what I recall, they did say they would be drafting the best available player, but nothing would be short-sighted. So they're going to draft the best available player, but they're still looking long-term, essentially. But also, I did talk to both Winger and Dawkins about the draft. And they said, like, this year, the approach really has to be leaning a little bit more. First of all, they said they've been kind of studying, like, the draft started for them, like, a while ago. So they've been kind of studying players. So it's not like they're coming into this blind. But they also said that they have to lean a little bit more on the Wizards staff this particular year. He said, you know, they might not be doing things how Winger and Dawkins said that Wizards staff might not be doing it how they would do it if they had started, you know, a while ago and they were coming in full control of the draft. But they're going to kind of work together and make the best decision for the team. And they did say it might be a little clunky because you're going to have different draft systems and different thought processes in, you know, as June 22nd approaches. But I do think you'll see them draft best available player.
That's good because they need, like, all the players they can get.
They need just pure, raw talent.
They need talent, you know what I mean? Speaking of a talented individual, he is talented. This guy I'm talking about is very talented. It was reported today, my Twitter feed was going crazy for real, that the Wizards and star Bradley Beal are working together to find a possible trade option. Your thoughts on that, and did you get that vibe at the conference that they were willing to trade Bradley Beal?
They didn't specifically say we're willing to trade Bradley Beal, but what they did say is they are willing to rebuild the roster if that's what they feel like it takes. So that does imply that they are willing to trade Bradley Beal. And, I mean, I think you have to expect that anything can happen, right? Because you have new blood, essentially. And I also felt from Ted Leonis, like, he wants to win. He's like, listen, we've had championships with the Mystics, with the Capitals. You know, there's been success with his other teams. So I think at this point, he's like, whatever we got to do, let's do it. That's the sense that I'm getting. So I think, you know, like I said, I think we can expect anything to happen. But the thing with Bradley Beal is he does have a say-so because of that trade clause. Yeah. He has a say-so in his trade. So he and his agent also have to be in line with whatever is being proposed. So that's a little tricky because the Wizards can't just make a decision like they would in most cases. Bradley Beal has a say.
All right, Karita, let me throw out a scenario for you. Now, Wole and other Wizards fans got extremely excited because they said there's a potential for Bradley Beal to be traded and for them to hit a reset. Having taken that into account, there are two guys who are potential free agents for this team, Kyle Kuzma and Kristaps Porzingis. If the Wizards were to start said reset, do you think that it would bring those two guys back?
I don't know if they would bring both of them back. I feel like Kyle Kuzma could fit in with what they may be trying to do. It's hard for me to say what they're trying to do because I don't necessarily know their vision yet. But I just feel like he's the kind of player that they would keep. So I don't know if I see them bringing both back. I feel like if there was one that was sacrificed, it would possibly be KP.
All right, and follow-up question. If they don't bring both of them or one of them back, does that automatically denote that, hey, we're going to start that reset right around before the season starts?
In my opinion, yes.
Okay, thank you.
I mean, if you think about it, we're hearing these rumors about, and I feel like, you know, we hear Bradley Beal trade rumors all the time. These feel real.
He's feel real. They feel very real. Very real.
Yes, they feel very real. So if you think about that, we have these trade rumors. And then if they don't bring Kyle or KP back, then, yeah, you got to assume that they're looking towards a rebuild. immediately.
Okay, I do have a question then. So if they say they trade everybody, they don't re-sign Kuz, they don't re-sign Porzingis, they trade Bradley Beal, like who going to be the dude?
Johnny
right,
Davis.
So and I think that that's the challenge.
You said Johnny Davis?
Johnny Davis.
Stop. Hey, yo.
Not yet. It's gonna be Denny.
I mean, but think about it.
I was quiet.
Yeah,
think about it. Who would be there? I mean, Johnny Davis, Corey Kispert.
Yeah, Karina. Who? Now that's her answer. Who would it be then? That's true. Who would it be?
You're asking me.
Out of everybody, say non-draft pick, right? Because the draft is going to dictate.
Like who they have now on their roster.
Like who would be the person?
The current roster, if you take away Bill, Porzingis doesn't sign back, and Kuzma doesn't sign back.
I kind of think it'd be, I'm gonna Karina answer. Who you think?
That dude. I mean, I don't know if there's a that dude that would be bad.
It's bad, yo. Hey.
I mean, it's
Tommy, a horrible job, bro.
No, I mean, and it's not, you know, and it's not nothing.
I mean, so, like, Jalon Wright, I think, would definitely thrive, but I don't know that I would say he would be that dude,
Jalon
right?
Yeah, I mean, think
he
about
good,
it.
Though. I think he would thrive
if he did, if he wasn't just coming off the bench.
That's
you don't think
tough.
So?
He played well. I'm not going. No, he played good with the Wizards. I am not.
But
going.
I don't think he would be that dude though.
No.
You know, Corey Kispert was coming into his own, but the way he plays, he wouldn't be that dude. You know,
facts.
He's like a 3-point shooter for the most part.
So
I don't think there's. That's what makes it challenging because, you know, I think about it and it's like ideally, you know, everybody wants them to blow it up. But I just think that if you blow it up, you really put yourself in a position where it's definitely going to take longer to get to where you want to go.
But I think that's more of an indictment upon the last two presidents of this organization, Ernie Grunfeld and Tommy Shepard, right? Because they haven't... Neither one of them drafted guys with the intention of them being able to develop to be a top of the line franchise leading player.
Well, I mean, no, because if in particular, Tommy Shepard was building the team around Bradley Beal,
mm-hmm.
So they were just adding pieces that they felt could help Bradley Beal. You know, I don't think that
that's true. He was, though.
That's not a lot of vision beyond that, if you really think about it. I know for sure Tommy Shepard was dead set on this being Bradley Beal's team.
He was.
I mean, yeah, and that's true, but I mean, just look at the results, right? You drafted Johnny Davis
agree.
And you drafted Corey Kispert.
But That's what I'm saying. I feel like because he was dead set on this being Bradley Beal's team, the way he drafted reflected that. And so to your point, when we think about it now, it's like if you take away Bradley Beal, if you take away like Kyle Kuzma, you just don't have anyone left that can step into that
trash
limelight.
Trash, man. That's terrible, bro. They did a terrible job.
Yeah, I mean, and considering some of the players who were on the board, you know, when they drafted.
We had to say Johnny Davis, though, bro. We had to say Johnny Davis. No knock on you, Johnny, man. I respect all my light-skinned brothers, bro. You know
yeah, I mean, and look.
I don't want to be rude. I don't want to be rude when I say this either. Yeah. But I also know, like, Tommy Shepard, part of his, like, strategic vision was expanding the Wizards' footprint into other countries.
Yeah.
So he did a lot of international drafting, but does that necessarily mean that he was drafting the best players
for
the team?
Because he drafted Denny, y'all. Because he drafted Denny. Everybody tried to hype Denny like he was the second coming of... Never mind, I can't say that.
I'm not even mad that he drafted Denny. I think Denny could... He has the upside to be a Hedo Turkoglu.
Nah, don't disrespect Hedo.
I think he does.
Hedo got a left and a right.
But this is what I'm saying. Like when you look at Denny Avdia's game, right,
yeah.
And you say what he projected, what you know, kind of a comp to him, a previous NBA
comp.
Right, yeah. You say, all right, on the high side, we work on his ball handling. We work on his ability to right. his three-point shooting. Then possibly he could be
I'm going to tell you the difference.
And his playmaking ability.
Yeah, I'm going to tell you the difference. He has some of that, so I'm not going to knock Denny. I'm going to tell you the difference between Denny and Hidu. And this is the truth. And this is going to be as easy as anything. Not even game. It's not even skill set related. Because I do kind of agree with you to a certain extent. Hidu had heart. He had heart even when he didn't know English or whatever. He do have heart. Denny don't got heart. I'm going to keep it a buck. Denny don't got heart. Like, he don't. Denny a little soft. Denny go to the basket, don't want to bang on you. He want to lay it up. Denny got, that's something you got to have. That's internal. That's not you don't grow.
Yes.
You have heart. That's just, it's there. You even got it or you don't. Denny don't got that. I'm sorry, and I watched him, and Ray and I, remember me and Ray watched Denny, we saw Denny's draft clips, and we was like, oh, this dude got game. I said Denny got game early. I said he got game. But when I saw him play, I was like, he don't got hurt. That's not, and if his skill gets to a different level, to a point it can mask his lack of heart, then he can be all right. Like, he can be better off. But his skill got to max out, though, bro. It's got to max out. That's my thing with him. That's it. Like, but other than that, sure. Hidu was a good one, though. It's a good comp, though. I ain't going to hold you. Yeah. That's a good comp. It's a good comp, though.
No, I mean, whenever I saw him play, like, when I first saw him play, I was like, okay, I see the vision. I see what you want him to be. But whether he can develop to that. And I think, hey, listen, you know, Michael Winger and Will Hawkins, they both come from OKC, and they both know what it's like to develop, to put together a player development program. So
you mean to get a good player though, to really draft good players. Yeah, they know how to draft good players.
Yeah, I mean, look,
Ernie Grunfeld didn't know how to.
Yeah,
obviously, we talking about what's his name? We talking about Johnny Davis and stuff. It's terrible.
It's like all new people.
I know.
Well, I want to ask just out of curiosity.
Go for it.
What do you guys think is going to be the next step? Do you see it being a rebuild, or you think they're going to keep some pieces built around that?
Yeah, I'll go first. Right. I think that they bring back Brad's going to be here.
Somebody got to get paid. You think Brad's going to be here?
I think Brad's going to be here before the start of the season.
Okay.
I also think that because his skill set is extremely rare, Kristaps Porzingis will be here also.
Kuz is gone.
I think Kuz is gone.
Okay.
And I think if this team doesn't get off to a start where they are at least competing for the sixth seed in the East, that by the time the new year, we'll start to hear talk and then eventually hit the reset button.
Okay, so you think they're going to start off trying to win?
I think they're going to start off with trying to win.
Okay, so this is what I think is going to happen. They're going to blow this crap up. They're going to blow this shit up early. I think during the draft, they're going to see if they can get a draft pick. I think they're going to try to do in the draft. If they don't do it in the draft, it'd be wrong. But I think they're going to try to do it in the draft. You know, I think there's suitors out there. I think a team like Miami would be interested to try to get him ASAP. I do think they're going to blow it up. I do think they're going to keep a player, though, even though they blow it up. Because you got to pay somebody. Like, you got to pay somebody. That's how the NBA is. You're going to pay one person. Like, I don't know, you're going to give them the max money, but you're going to pay somebody.
Who is that somebody?
I think you can pay Kuz. Brad? No, Brad getting traded. I think Kuz. They'll keep Kuz. I think Porzingis is gonna try to go into a situation where he thinks he can win. I think Kuz doesn't care about winning per se as much as people like maybe Porzingis does. I think because Kuz has already experienced a championship, he is more likely to say, I can get my numbers, I can be an all-star, while Porzingis is like, dude, I'm getting older, I need to win a championship, I can't stay here. Like, they're doing a rebuild. I can't trust this organization. Kuzma looks for – there's a lot of elements here in D.C. that Kuzma can kind of take advantage of.
That's why I was thinking that he would be the one, if they made a choice between the two, that's why I felt like he would be the one to stay. And I also just feel like – it's hard to say what they are building, but I feel like Kuz would fit into their scheme, whatever that might be.
I just looked at it from the aspect of both of these guys have ties to OKC. So they when they see a unique talent, which I don't care what anyone says, despite his injuries.
Oh, Brad is. Oh,
no.
Porzingis. Oh, definitely.
He's a unique talent.
Bro, I'm going to keep it a buck. I think Porzingis was the best Wizard last year. This is not a knock on Porzingis by saying this.
And then there's also the element of Porzingis has a player option.
Yes.
So I don't necessarily see a lot of teams out there with the cap space to provide him with a long-term contract that he potentially could be looking for. So maybe he comes back this year, shows that he's healthy, and then next year in 2024, where teams possibly have a little bit more cap space, then he ventures out to become a free agent.
It's possible, man.
I think I like both scenarios. But it's funny because I think in both scenarios, you did choose somebody out of Kuz and KP are going to be gone.
Yeah. Both ain't staying. I definitely don't think both are staying. But both are staying. Like, I know that. Like, I mean, not saying no, but I have a good feel that both of them are staying in D.C.
I definitely agree with that. That's why I say I think Porzingis opts in, and then Kuzma, they help facilitate a trade so he gets the salary that he wants.
That's the only thing. I guess that's the thing that I'm like. The only thing about Kuz which I'm agreeing with you, Will, is that I don't think if you're blowing this up, because I do expect them to blow. I think they're blowing it up. They don't want to be tied into a contract that they can't get rid of. So I guess it depends on the money that Kuz is looking for. You know what I'm saying? Because I just said that Kuz is looking for. I don't think Kuz is all in for winning a championship. I don't think that's his thing. No, I'm just being real. I know it sounds good, but I don't think he's all in for that.
Well, did come up in the offseason, in his closing.
You say when he said presser. He wants to win. He said he wants to win.
No, he didn't. No, he didn't necessarily say that. He didn't say I don't want to win, but he didn't necessarily. He said what he was saying is. There's multiple decisions. Mm-hmm. There's multiple like characteristics or decisions that go into like the decision that he makes. Yeah. So it's not all about winning.
Yeah, I don't think so.
And somebody said, do you think that you have that viewpoint about there being like about it being like a multi-layered decision? Mm-hmm. Someone did ask, do you think you have that viewpoint because you already have a championship? Mm. So I do think. I mean, obviously, he don't want to be on like a straight losing team.
I only see. My thing is that I don't even go. Go ahead, Karina.
No, I was just gonna say, but I do think that he has some flexibility. But I do think money is probably more of a factor for him.
Yeah, I think he just wants them numbers, though. I think he wants them All Star numbers. He's going wherever he can get them All Star numbers. I think that's gonna really play a part of what he's trying to do. So we put this poll out there about Bill. I'm saying, like, for fans, are you in favor of Bill? I mean, being traded out of D.C., 100% said yes, though, bro. 100%. I mean, I get but like 15 people vote. Like 15 vote.
The sentiment has been for a long time.
If you could see your face, Wole, just how happy you are.
Bill to be traded.
So everybody wanted, right? See, Will trying to say he see me cheesing.
Fans have definitely, I feel like, wanted that for a while for whatever reason. So.
For whatever reason. It's a good reason. Will seeing me cheese and Will thinking I hate. I like Bradley Beal. He brings his family and everything. He brings his family to games. Bradley Beal is a nice guy. He's a salt of earth type of person. Like salt of the earth type of person. I have no issue with Bradley Beal. I think Bradley Beal is a phenomenal, phenomenal talent. I just don't think he is a number one.
Who's going to be the face of your franchise? I wonder. I'm not saying that.
Man, I think whoever they draft right, that could be the face of the franchise. Because I'm gonna be real, like the draft pick should be the best player. I have more confidence in this new front office about picking a player that can probably impact your team in the draft. And I don't even think it's the strongest draft in the world, but still, I think they can find somebody who's probably better off than Denny Avdija. And Johnny Davis, the Carrios, and I like Corey Kispert, so I'm put that up. But I like Corey. I think Corey's gotten better every year, but Corey's limited right now. As he is now as a ball player, he's limited compared to be that guy. Like you need a guy who can set you up, right?
Yep.
And I think that you're better suited with a player in this draft than the guys you have on your team. I don't know.
And hopefully that guy's Anthony Black from Arkansas.
Oh, he all right, too. Hopefully it's Johnny Davis, though. Hopefully he pans out. See, I said that with a smile,
Johnny
too.
Davis?
Yeah, hopefully. See, look, she's like repeating herself. You know she don't think he that good. Look.
It's not that I don't think he's good, but I just don't.
No, I know you don't think he's bad.
Like this. He definitely got better towards the end of the season. It's his confidence for me.
This is true.
And I feel like I feel like you gotta be a confident player, and I just don't know. I think his confidence will get better. And I think he will be more sure of himself, but I just don't know if I see that same thing. I just don't know that he would ever have like that killer instinct or that I'm that guy. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I get that from Johnny Davis. Like he'll play good. He'll give you numbers or whatnot, but I don't know that I feel that he's gonna be someone who scares anyone.
No, he definitely won't scare anybody. He's Johnny Davis, man. Come on now, he's Johnny Davis. I mean. I saw him in Wisconsin. I was like, oh, they drafted him? Interesting. Okay. I see you. Johnny Davis. Great draft. Great draft pick, man. Amazing. Hey, Karita, man, appreciate you being on. Before we let you go, please let our listeners know how they can find you on social media and check out all of your great content. Like, and plug everything, okay? Everything.
Yes. So be sure to check me out on all social media platforms at Karita C. Parks. That's where I put everything. But also, you can find me at Double Take Sports. That's at DBL Take Sports. And that's DBLTakeSports.com. Also, a contributing writer for Inside the Sports Illustrated, Inside the Wizards. So you can catch some of my Wizards content there as well. And I think that is it.
Well, Karita, thanks for being on. We appreciate you. You got no podcast you want to plug or anything? You good? Straight?
I'm good on the podcast at the moment.
All right, cool.
Okay. besides swinging through to everybody else's.
All right, cool. All right. Appreciate you for being on. We appreciate you. Thanks for being on.
Appreciate you, Ms. Parks.
Thanks, y'all.
All right.
Hey, again, follow Karita on Twitter. That's at Karita C. Parks. That's at Karita C. Parks. Let's go right to the next one, Will T. All right, man. NBA Finals, man. It was dope. It was amazing. I don't know what the best finals in the world wasn't, really. But the Denver Nuggets won the NBA Finals, won the championship, beating the Miami Heat in Game 5 on Monday. Series 4-1. Will T. I mean, the score of that game was, 94-89. Will T. That was a low-scoring.
Compared to all the rest of their games, that was a
in modern NBA.
Yeah, that's a defense. That's considered a defensive struggle.
I haven't seen that in a long time. All right, so Will, tell me your thoughts on the game, man.
In the series, bro. Well, how can I put this? Nikola Jokic officially crowned himself as the best player in the NBA right? We look at what he was able to accomplish, and this is no knock to any of the other guys on his team, but he didn't play with a guy who was voted to an all-star game, right? The last guy, I think, to do that may have been Hakeem Olajuwon, the first championship that he won.
To do it like that?
Yeah.
Yeah, Dirk did a good job carrying, but I'm going to say he was like a center.
Yeah.
Because Dirk's not a center.
Yeah, Dirk's not a center.
Yeah, it's Hakeem, man.
Yeah, so that's the first thing.
Not Shaq. Yeah, not Shaq. Go ahead.
that's the first thing. Second thing, even though they came up short, you got to, take your hat off to the Miami Heat just as an organization, Eric Spoelstra as a coach. Mm-hmm. Eric Spoelstra did a great job of not only getting that team there, but keeping them competitive in most of the games. I know that, game 3 was a blowout. The final score, it was a blowout.
But they came back and they fought.
But they fought to the last whistle, they didn't give up. They did all the cliche things we talk about professional sports, right?
Yeah, uh-huh.
And then, the third thing is, it's interesting to the dynamic of All right, so there was a move that Calvin Booth, former Wizard, who's the current GM of...
A lot of former Wizards.
Yeah. current GM of the Nuggets made, and he essentially swapped out draft picks with OKC, mm-hmm. understanding that kind of the championship window mm-hmm. for this team is now. So he added, I believe it was another draft. He sent away a draft pick in 2029, and he received one, I believe, two or three draft picks this year, and I think two next year.
Yeah, they got one. Carr won.
Yeah,
crazy, bro.
So that means to me that they're trying to go for it now. They're trying to go for it now. They see that there's a possible window to make this, as I quote unquote put this, a dynasty, become a team that wins back to back championships, which they obviously. I mean, you just look at the landscape and look at the way this team played. Why can't they be?
I agree. I'll read some tweets that we got about this topic. So, first off, I want to say, like, I was right about this. Ray was on here. So I was like, I was right. Like, the hottest team was Denver. I said Denver is the reason, and this is why I'm saying I was right, because everything I thought was going to happen, to be honest with you. I felt like, again, Miami, the key to Miami's defense, to how they've been – No, not the key. One of the keys is that they play hard, right? That's just a fact. Then secondly is the zone, right? And Will, you play ball, you play organized ball, you've coached organized ball, right?
Mm-hmm.
When you have an intelligent player, an intelligent offense, but let's just say an intelligent player who's not about just trying to get buckets and whatever, is willing to take the extra pass, and he happens to be your big in the zone. You got a big who can pass in the zone, then. He's going to find the holes in the zone, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that zone is not effective anymore. When you're playing against teams like, all right, so you played against Milwaukee. You didn't have Giannis and stuff. They wasn't a healthy Milwaukee squad, right? But you can say, I claim that Jimmy won that series. I'll even give him that, right?
Mm-hmm.
The Knicks aren't the most, like, some of the guys that you rely on aren't the smart. Other than the point guard, the other guys aren't the most intelligent basketball players in terms of playing smart ball. Even Boston doesn't have intelligent basketball players when they're playing ball. We'll say Jaylen Brown forces plays. Even Tatum will settle, right? Now you're playing the Denver Nuggets, who play a different brand of basketball. It's a sharing basketball type of game. It's getting the extra man the ball. This is different from playing a guy that you can key on and say, ISO, okay, he's going to shoot the ball. We just got to guard him. He's going to do whatever it takes to get the ball up. Now you don't know where shots are coming because the ball is moving, right?
Yeah.
This is different. Like, it's a different animal. Go ahead,
I'll say this, and I know that I chose the Sixers as the team to win the championship.
Yes.
Like during the conference finals.
Probably a better matchup.
And you look at those, and it's, you take it from this perspective. You look at those two stars on the Sixers. You look at James Harden, and you look at Joel Embiid.
Mm-hmm.
You know where those guys are going to get the ball, and you're going to be able to attack them and double team them and make them either make the smart basketball play, pass it out, or make a play themselves, right? With Nikola Jokic, you know that he may get the ball on the high post.
Yes.
You know he may bring the ball up down the floor, or he might get it in the low post. But what will happen is when you bring the double, he will make the right basketball play. He will know where that guy's rotating from, and he will know which guy is open, and he will hit that guy. And not only that, the players that they've built on, the players they've put around Nikola Jokic, play to his strength, because they already know, I'm cutting to the basket when Nikola gets the ball.
Yes.
I'm not standing still.
Yeah, man.
So
I mean, look at some of the plays with Aaron Gordon, bro. Where Aaron, he gets the ball in the at the free throw line, in the playing zone, gets the ball in the free throw line. He dives forward. He has, he has that floater because his touch is amazing, right? Fakes it he doesn't fake it. Everybody assumes he's going to shoot it. They assume it. Does a slick lob up to Aaron Gordon for a dunk. You know what I'm saying? Or Aaron Gordon, a lob to Aaron Gordon. Aaron Gordon does some type of, I don't know what Aaron Gordon be doing. I think he's playing horse out there. Turn around and throw behind his back, you know, so on a oop. I'm just it's just a different brand. So, I just knew that was going to be a hard matchup for Miami. But all in all, Miami, you know what I'm saying? Jimmy played hard. You know what I'm saying? I'm glad Jimmy Butler is not a thing anymore. I was telling folks, who's your king? Because your king is done. You know what I'm saying? Your king wasn't – he wasn't that dude averaging 17 points in the NBA Finals. He wasn't him.
He wasn't him, but he wasn't himself either, because
we didn't say this, but look, LeBron wasn't himself either. No one gave him any leeway. Jimmy Butler – LeBron had to get surgery. So I don't even look. Not, and Nikola sprained his ankle too. Look, bro, no, we're not doing that. He was seven. He scored. Look, he was Jimmy Butler. If I told you his shooting percentage prior to the Milwaukee joint, you'd be like, even the Knicks one, his shooting percentage wasn't great. 43%, 42, and 39. He averages 24 because you're gonna shoot the ball a lot because you're the guy. But your shooting percentage wasn't the best. You know what I'm saying? All I'm saying is like, oh, that's gone. So I'm just saying, like, he wasn't him in the finals. When you need your guy, he wasn't him in the finals. Timmy Butler wasn't him in the finals.
Okay, that's fair. That's fair.
I'm just saying, like, look, and I know how people come at me and they would say, like, well, he had to do it by himself and blah. Bruh, we didn't say, look, in the closeout game, I made the argument that who could have been the best player, who could have been Eastern Conference Final MVP?
Caleb Martin.
So we had help there, but no one talks like he wasn't. No one talks about he ain't had no help. He had help the whole time. You know what I'm saying? He had help the whole time. So when people aren't doing their thing,
I mean, not only that. If you think about it, I think Bam averaged 23.
Bam 14. Dominated. He had help. Bam was the no. All right, so let me do this, my Nigerian brother. I'm gonna give you flowers because Bam was amazing. You know what I'm saying?
Bam, I believe for the finals.
Yeah, Bam. No. They had no answer for Bam. Bam was amazing. Bam, I'm gonna give Bam his flowers. Bam was amazing. Bam was him for the Miami Heat. But Jimmy wasn't him. Wasn't Jimmy Butler at all. Was not him. Nope. He was James. His name was James in the finals. James Butler. That's the name in the finals.
Disrespectful, man.
James Butler. But you know who was him? Jokic. He was him. Jokic was him. 24/7. Gave you 41 in the loss. Jokic was. You knew who's the best player on the field. I mean, on the court. Who's the best player?
Jokic.
Yes. Easily. It wasn't even doubting. You wouldn't even doubt it at all. That's what I said to Ray when Ray's not here today. I said that the best – Ray was like, well, you know, Butler's having that March Madness thing. I was like, nah, bruh. The dude's having that March Madness kind of playoffs is Jokic. No one is stopping the Joker at all. Nobody has even – Have you in the finals? You'd be like in the playoffs. You'd be like, yeah, like he's still impacting the game even when he's off. The Lakers are still impacting the game because he's passing the ball. But anyway, Will, I'm going back to your question because I put this out there. A lot of people say no on our poll, but you believe that the Denver Nuggets can repeat or the favorites to repeat.
The favorites
for next year. If you had to look at a team, who?
Yeah, I mean, if I'm looking at that team, yeah. Right, and I say okay. Nikola Jokic, even if he levels off his play is slightly below what it is. Mm-hmm. All right. So that's still a triple double. That's what, 27, mm-hmm. 10, and 10. Then I look at Jamal Murray. I think Jamal Murray is going to get better another year removed from that ACL sprain.
Yeah, I agree.
That ACL tear. And then I look at Calvin Booth's ability to put the necessary pieces around it. I think that this is a team that can repeat.
Definitely can. I'm gonna read this poll before we go to break. I'm gonna go back. Let me look at it right now. We gotta go to break, and because we're gonna have another guest, and we have to speed this up. Let's see. Hold on. It's in here somewhere, Wilty. I got it.
It's all good.
We here. If I don't find it, we're gonna go to break regardless.
All right. Well, let's just go to break.
Let's go to break. Hold on. Oh, I think I found it. Yeah, I did. I found it. Nah. Let's go to break, bro. Let's take this joint to break. And I can talk about it on the other side of break, actually. I'll just mention it on the side of break.
Oh.
What?
Okay.
All right. Want me to read it?
I got it. Right, Teofilo cool. Lopez is back as a top dog. Adam Boxing's Wayne and Jermaine will join us to talk about Lopez defeating Taylor after the break. It's the Urban Sports Scene.
For Aegis.
You dig?
Doses.
On Empire Media, that's empiremedia.com.
Come on, man.
And with the local DBC news, LL Cool J with a triumphant comeback.
More a solo. But tonight,
don't call it a comeback. I've been here for years. I'm rocking my pants. Put suckers in fear. Making the tears rain down like a monsoon. Listen to the bass go boom, explosion.
You better
All right, you are listening to the Urban Sports Scene with Wole and Will T. Our man Ray Jeezy is out for the day.
I'm about to pass you, man. Hold on.
All right.
But hold on. I'll introduce our guest, Will T.
Okay.
All right. Right now, we are joined by hosts of the Adams Boxing Show, Wayne and Jermaine. What's up, Wayne and Jermaine? And welcome back to the Urban Sports Scene.
Yes, sir. Appreciate you having me back on, my brother.
Oh, man, we're glad to have you on, man. Look, it's exciting times in boxing, man.
Yes, indeed. A whole lot going on. A lot of news.
A whole lot, man. But, you know, we want to talk about this, what happened on Saturday night. Teofimo Lopez gave Josh Taylor his first career loss with a unanimous decision victory to become the WBO junior welterweight champion. Jermaine, I'm going to start with you. Your thoughts on that fight, my man?
Well, I really wasn't surprised at the outcome. I've been saying all along that Teofimo was going to school Josh Taylor, and that's what he did. To me, he's a better boxer than Josh Taylor. Me personally, I've never been a real fan of Josh Taylor like that. His last fight was very controversial with Jack Catterall, and I knew Teofimo was much better than Jack Catterall, so this wasn't surprising to me at all. I think a lot of people didn't expect this, but I did.
Exactly. He called it. Yeah, Jermaine was on. You know.
All right. After the fight, what's up, fellas?
What's up, my brother?
I'm good, man. After the fight, Teofimo came out and said he's retired, point blank. I'm done. I'm retired. I know he's going through a lot personally. He alluded to it during his post fight interview with regards to his fight for his kid. He said that's his most important fight at this point. Mm-hmm. Do you believe that he's retired?
Let's go with you, Wayne. Since Jermaine started, let's go with you, Wayne.
Mm-hmm. Nah, I think he's just in a moment right now off a win that nobody thought he was going to win. He's retired. No, I think he'll be back in no time. What you think, Jermaine?
Yeah, I think he'll be back. I think the money talks. You know what I'm saying? I think he's just a little upset that he's not getting the type of money that he feels like he should be getting. He's pretty upset that he was fighting in the theater at Madison Square Garden instead of where the Knicks play at. He's a little upset about that.
Yep.
I guess he thought that Spike Lee should have been watching him play instead of even. But I guess he just wants the same amount of money like guys like Tank Davis get. So, you know, it's a little enviness, but I think he'll be back when the right amount of money gets offered to him.
Mm-hmm. Let me ask you this. He alluded to in his post-fight, one of his post-fight interviews, I think that his purse was $1 million or something like that, if I'm not mistaken. I remember him mentioning something about him fighting for $1 million. Who do you think is the potential opponent out there that would drive up that purse for him and help him cross over to being a star in boxing outside of just the general purist fans of the sport?
Well, I think of course Ryan Garcia. If you want to talk about crossover, because there's going to be a lot of people that are not just boxing fans that's going to tune in to watch Ryan Garcia fight Teofimo, but of course he can fight Tank Davis because he can cross up to the urban market. A lot of the black people watch Tank Davis, and a lot of people don't know who Teofimo is in that world. So if he fought a guy like Tank Davis and gave him the business, you know what I'm saying? It's a whole nother stratosphere of money that's going to come his way. The brain truck is going to be thrown at him then if he's complaining about it now. Tank Davis. I mean, there's no telling how much money he'll get per fight now after he does that.
Do you think that fight can happen, Tank and Teofimo? And would that happen at 140, or would he go down?
I think he probably have to go down because I know one of Tank's trainers said that they're not looking to go to 140 right now. So he would definitely have to go back down to 135 where he beat Lomachenko at if he wants to get a Tank fight. But I know Ryan Garcia is going to 140. Mm. So if he wants to fight with him, I guess he tweeted out that Ryan Garcia messaged him after the Josh Taylor fight and mentioned about fighting. So I think he should run to that if it's a money issue. Mm. He should take Ryan in a heartbeat. Don't even think about it.
Right. And get it for him, probably get a win too. Yeah. I would favor Teofimo with no problem.
So that one. What about Haney? Haney is talking about going to 140. How about that fight?
I would love that. I think that's the biggest fight for him at 140. There's a lot of guys that get thrown out there with Haney, but those guys are not going to get paid the type of money he probably would want. I think a Teofimo fresh off this win over Josh Taylor, and you match him right there with Devin Haney, that's an instant great match. You know what I'm saying? I think they could both sign that deal if it's presented to either one. I don't see why they would turn that down.
Exactly.
Yeah, I know that during the lead up to the fight, Bob Arum said that he wanted to speak with Bill Haney and Devin Haney, and he wanted to, I believe, offer him a 3-fight deal, and one of those fights was a fight with Shakur Stevenson, a fight with Teofimo Lopez, and then a third fight, and I forgot what that third fight is. Or do you think, and I'm switching lanes over to Devin Haney, do you think Devin Haney's next opponents will be Regis? I forgot his last.
Regis, I know. That's what they said. That what's their name? Teofimo.
Yeah, Regis. I can't.
Hey, Jermaine, tell them how you feel about that Haney program. Y'all got to hear this.
Well, I think Devin Haney will outbox Regis program. I like Regis program a lot. Regis program is a good fighter at 140. He lost to Josh Taylor. That's his only loss. Regis Prograis is a good fighter, but I don't think he can box with Devin Haney. A lot of people make Regis Prograis to be this big monster at 140, but he couldn't even hang with Josh Taylor. Like, I mean, he did it. Well, he fought pretty good, but he didn't look like a monster versus Josh Taylor. We see what a guy like Teofimo did with him. And Devin Haney, in my opinion, can box just as good as Teofimo, if not better. So I would favor Devin Haney to beat Regis Prograis. You know what I'm saying? But the biggest fight for Devin Haney at 140 right now, just off the latest buzz, is definitely Teofimo.
I think that's the one. I agree with y'all, man. I think that's the one I have. I do. Hey, man, this has been dope, fan, for real. But before I let you go, how can folks catch your content on social media, your YouTube channel, everything? Let everybody know how they can reach you.
Well, most definitely, Adams Boxing Show on Twitter, Adams Boxing Show on YouTube. You can pop right up. And definitely appreciate everybody that subscribed to the YouTube, that comments on our Twitter, all our subscribers, man. Definitely appreciate
that. Shout out to you guys.
Yeah, just the urban sports scene, man. PG County guys, man. Yeah, you know we got to put y'all.
I appreciate y'all, man.
Appreciate the love, brother.
Hey, man, I saw the Shakur retweet, man, and the Shakur comment to your joint. That was dope, man. That was dope.
Oh, yeah, most definitely. Shout out to Shakur. Man, dope. Brick City, New Jersey, man. Yeah.
Oh, I do have one more question before right. I let you guys go. To me, on July 29th, we got one of those legendary nights coming up where we finally had the press conference where we had Errol Spence Jr. versus face off against Terrence Bud Crawford. What do you guys what are your predictions for that fight? And ultimately, you know, we'll have you back on the week afterwards to talk about it.
You're crazy because me and my brother, we both had Errol Spence. We both picked Errol Spence last year, 2022. Right now, we have a 50, but we always favored Errol Spence over Terrence Crawford over the years. But right now, we do have it a 50-50 fight, though.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I feel like I'm just happy the way they're tackling this, man. Like, I like the press. I just think that it's, you know, people are going to be extra in boxing, man. But I just feel like this is out of respect. Like, you see respect in this, man.
And you see it.
Right? You know what I'm saying? Like, it's respect. It ain't all this clown shit. I mean, not to be like all whatever, but it ain't none of that. Mm-hmm. It's just straight. Yo, you good? I'm good.
And we're going to see who the best man is.
Like, that's it. That's all we need. We don't need this little BS shoving and crap, all this other extra stuff. Like, you're going to be confident in your skill. You're going to say, I'm taking the straps and vice versa. And that's fine. Nothing wrong with that. But not that extra stuff, man. I'm glad they going into this. You can tell there's real respect. Like, there's real love between the two. Like, they about to do damage to each other, man.
Man, both guys know what each other is capable of doing. Errol Spence said he's a fan of Terrence. Like you know, and he don't talk like you don't see Errol talk like this about an opponent like that. Nah. So the respect is there. They know what each other's capable of for sure.
Definitely. Hey y'all, man, appreciate y'all being on, man. We gonna wrap. We may do a show like a boxing special prior to this fight. I ain't sure.
Okay.
With a bunch of folks, I'm gonna try to get you on. All right. It's probably gonna be like a YouTube video type thing, like on Zoom or something. We all a bunch of boxing pundits. We was gonna shoot the breeze about this particular fight. Cause this is the fight. Like that fight is the fight to talk about.
Super fight, indeed.
All right, y'all, man. Appreciate y'all, man.
Appreciate y'all, brothers,
appreciate
man.
Brother, yes. Sir. All right, y'all,
take it easy, man.
You too.
All right,
you guys too.
All right. Hey, make sure you follow Jermaine and Wayne on Twitter at Adams Boxing Show. Also follow their YouTube channel as well, man. This has been a dope show. I would do all the readout, but I'm tired.
I get it, man. I understand it.
It was a good show, though. We had a bunch of great
guests. Yeah, we had a bunch of great guests. You know, Candy, Carita, Jermaine, and Wayne.
Yeah, man.
So action packed, a lot of guests, a lot of great conversation. And, you know, of course, this is not skipping Shannon. We'll be back next week.
We'll be back. We'll be back.
We're not breaking up.
Oh, we're not breaking up. We brothers, bro. Like, we ain't no TV brothers. We brothers for real,
bro. Yeah, we brothers, for real, man. Like, so we'll be back to do another show next week.
Yeah, you know it. All right, man. Thanks for tuning in. We appreciate y'all. Anyway, you've been listening to the Urban Sports Scene.
For ages.
Yeah, dig.
Deuces.
Hey, Mega. Lead us out, big homie. Thank you.